In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. One of our basic psychological needs as human beings is a need for purpose and direction. Psychological needs aren't really voluntary things that we have. They're just part of being human. But the person who doesn't have a sense of purpose or direction also lacks oftentimes meaning. And if you lack meaning, you oftentimes don't feel well within your soul. And so the healthy human being who has grown and integrated generally has to find their purpose and has to get in touch with meaning. Now, in a generic catechism sense, in a generic sense, you could say that we're all created to worship God, to love God. But it's not enough to have a generic purpose or a generic meaning. Because each one of us as individuals actually very specifically have callings and purposes which are found in our relationship to Christ, which are found by revelation in Christ Himself. And these purposes, again, are fundamental to our sense of health and well-being. And they give us, as we pursue them, a sense of meaning, a sense of fullness. Now, as you go out into the world, you will notice in our culture, as we have torn down tradition, as we have removed ourselves from the roots of our culture, which had its problems, it's always had its problems, but was founded with Judeo-Christian values, and there was a common understanding of for many, many generations. But as that has been stripped away, the good and the bad of it, as that has been stripped away, what has taken its place is a lack of meaning and a lack of purposelessness. And so in our day and age, we see for many people an elevated risk of suicide, because why bother? We see more and more a sense of cynicism, a sense of futility, a sense of absolute, the word, I'm going to repeat it, meaninglessness, about why be part of our culture. Why vote? Why do anything? Why be a good citizen? And that is because we've stripped it away. And so if we ever have to wonder why someone might go in and shoot up children in a school, or why children might go all the way to Syria to join ISIS, it's because we live in a time where purposelessness and meaninglessness, hand in hand, and an antagonistic, iconoclastic spirit which tears down anything that was built before, leaves people with wandering, empty spirits, looking for one flicker, one spark of something that is transcendent and something that might give life meaning. Now, everybody's not tormented by that spark or by looking for that flicker. Some of us have learned to engage ourselves in busy work. We're not necessarily finding our purpose, and we're not necessarily finding meaning. But hey, you know, one day at a time, and tomorrow is coming anyways, and I might as well make the best of it. And so there is also the malaise of the day in and day out, which may not be filled with purpose and meaning. And so we also have an epidemic of depression and anxiety, which I think could also be tied to this sort of symptoms. Now, in today's gospel, our Lord delivers and gives talents to his servants. He goes away. Now imagine if you were in the time of Matthew, when this is when Matthew writes this, you know, 60 years after Christ has ascended, and you're waiting around and you've been celebrating this gospel message. And you read about the kingdom of heaven in the Gospel of Matthew, and it says that he went away. That is our experience. We do experience the presence of Christ. We experience God. But we don't experience him the way the apostles did when they stood side by side with him. We experience him through the grace and revelation of the Holy Spirit, through an inner guidance and a connection that we have to God that we forge and we develop in our prayer life. But it is hard for us also sometimes to intuit the direction of God. How much easier would it be if Jesus simply stood in front of us and said, "This is your point, go do it." For many of us, or for all of us, it would just clarify the world. So much of our life is muddling about trying to find what it is that we might supposed to be doing, or what we're supposed to commit ourselves to. And ultimately, as a Christian, this is the journey of seeking. And so today's parable, we have three servants. One servant is given five talents. One is two. Another is given one talent. And we should take from this that God does not distribute his gifts equally. He gives some a lot. Like, for instance, today we celebrate St. John Chrysostom. There is only one golden mouth St. John Chrysostom. There is only one of those. It does no good for us to envy him and to look to him as though we should be able to preach sermons that last 2 hours and are still interesting. It does us no good. It does us no good to give up because others are better than us and have been given more. Whether they've been given more financially, it is not for us to envy them. Whether they've been given more because they had better families and they were raised better, better education, or simply because spiritually they are filled by the grace of the Holy Spirit, is not up to us to envy and judge others. So he gives to each one differently, different amounts. And each one has to be a steward or has to be faithful with the amount they're giving. The one who has five doubles the five, he gets it. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. Very happy when Christ comes back. When the man comes back for the second one, it's exact same words. But it's only two talents that have been doubled. Nonetheless, it doesn't matter. He was responsible. He was faithful with the two talents. And so he doubled those. But the person who had one talent dug a hole in the ground. And we are to understand that he did this motivated out of fear. Fear because of his hard master, who he perceived to be hard, and the demand that was going to come to him. Now, many of us are stifled also by fear. Many of us don't pray, don't do spiritual works, don't ever go out on a limb to do anything unique in our life, even though we may feel called to do so, because of fear. Fear keeps us locked in place. It keeps us, it helps, it makes us so that we bury our talents. But much more than that, the burying of the talent is not good stewardship. It's not being faithful with what is given to him. And ultimately, that's what ends up being his condemnation. So it's not just in this life that he wasn't blessed to see his talents grow, because there's a blessing in having five talents or two talents and seeing growth. There's a blessing in that. There's a blessing seeing things increase, this parish grow, our money grow, or anything growing when it's been given to us, when we see that it's being successful, that it's moving somewhere, it feels good. It feels fulfilling. Versus just burying it in the ground, where even in this life, it's a negative experience of just simply knowing where something's buried and living with words of what if and never talking or thinking about the potential of what we've been given. Well, anyways, he's condemned in this life, and then he's condemned in the next life, according to the parable, as Christ takes account when he comes back. So the challenge for us in this parable, and for those also in 60 AD, is to understand that we have a purpose. Understand that life does have meaning if we find our purpose. And in our own prayerful way, wrestle with God about it. Wrestle with God to find direction in our life, to take the things that he has given us, to take the things, and we can say the physical things, the wealth that he's given us, but also the gifts of our personality, the gifts of our dispositions, the gifts that the Holy Spirit moves us in. Because some are wealthy, they can give money. Some have a wealth of patience, and so they can listen. Some are great speakers, and so we have St. John Chrysostom and brilliant minds. We have lawyers who do brilliant work in the system, the legal system. We have all sorts of talents in this parish and beyond this parish. And as we pursue to double our talents, as we discover them and pursue them, it makes us healthier. And then ultimately, we know at the end of the age when our Lord comes, we're judged finally in Matthew 25 by our works, by what we've done with what we've been given, motivated by faith. So, pray, pursue. Life is never meaningless. If you think it's meaningless, talk, ask, seek, find, wrestle with God, find it. It's there. If you want it, God will eventually reveal it to you. That ultimately, we are meant to multiply everything that he's given us. And this challenge for our life is to not live in fear and not to live in laziness, not to live in envy and looking at what everybody else has, but simply to take responsibility for the cards that we've been dealt and to do the best that we can do with the basics or the abundance that we've been giving. Those are the things that God is looking for. Those are what we'll be accountable for. And ultimately, because God made man, those are the things which will give us a psychological sense of meaning and will fulfill that basic need for purpose, because we all have purpose in Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. Amen.